pulled out her chair and she sits. Jago arrives with our drinks, and Megan saunters off, presumably to fetch menus or a cricket bat. Cheers, I hold up my pint. Cheers, Alessia replies. After a sip, she says, I do not think Megan is happy with you.
No, I don't think so either.
I shrug, brushing off the subject. I really don't want to discuss Megan with Alessia. Anyway, you were saying about religion. She eyes me dubiously, as if pondering the Megan situation, and then she continues, The communists banned religion in my country. You mentioned that in the car yesterday.
Yes.
But you wear a gold cross.
Menus.
Megan interrupts us and hands us both a laminated card.
I'll be back to take your order in a minute.
She turns abruptly and heads for the bar. I ignore her.
You were saying?
Alessia watches Megan's exit through suspicious eyes, but says nothing about her. She continues,
It was my grandmother's. She was Catholic. She used to pray in secret.
Alessia fondles her gold cross. So there's no religion in your country?
There is now, since we became a republic when the communists fell. But in Albania, we don't make so much of it.
Oh, I thought religion was everything in the Balkans.
Not in Albania. We are a, what is the word, secular state. Religion is very personal. You know, just between a person and their God. At home we are Catholics. Most people in my town are Muslim. But we do not give it much thought.
She responds with a quizzical look at me.
And you?
Me? Well, I suppose I'm Church of England, but I'm not religious at all. Father Truin's words come back to me.
We lead by example, my son.
Bloody hell. Maybe I should go to church tomorrow. Kit always managed to go at least one or two Sundays a month when he was down here. Me, not so much. That's another damn duty I have to fulfill.
Are the English like you?
Alessia asks, pulling me back into the conversation. With regard to religion, some are, some aren't. The UK is multicultural.
This I know.
She smiles.
When I travelled on the train in London, there were so many different languages spoken.
Do you like it, London?
It is noisy and crowded and very expensive, but it is exciting. I had never been to a big city before.
Not even Tirana. Thanks to my expensive education, I know the capital of Albania.
No, I have never travelled. I had never seen the sea until you brought me here.
Her glance out the window is wistful, but it gives me an opportunity to study her profile. Long lashes, pert nose, pouting lips. I shift in my seat, my blood thickening.
Steady.
Megan appears with her pinched, angry face and scraped back hair, and my problem subsides.
Boy, she is still bitter.
It was one summer, 7 years ago, one fucking summer.
Are you ready to order?
She asks, glaring at me.
Catch of the day is cod.
She makes it sound like an insult. Alessia frowns and glances quickly at the menu. I'll have the fish pie, please. And irritated, I cock my head, daring Megan to say anything.
For me also, says Alessia.
Two fish pies. Any wine?
I'm fine with the beer. Alessia? Megan turns to the lovely Alessia DiMarchi.
For you? She snaps.
The beer is good for me too.
Thank you, Megan.
I grunt in warning, and she shoots me a look. She'll probably spit in my food. Or worse, in Alessia's. Shit, I murmur under my breath as I watch her march back to the kitchen. Alessia studies my reaction.
That goes back several years. I say, and tug at my sweater collar, embarrassed.
What does?
Megan and I.
Oh,
Alessia says, her tone flat.
She's ancient history. Tell me about your family. Do you have any siblings?
I ask, desperately trying to move on.
No,
she says abruptly, and it's obvious she's still considering Megan and me.
Parents?
I have a mother and a father, like all people.
She raises a beautiful, arched eyebrow. Oh, the delectable Demarchi has teeth. And what are they like? I ask, stifling my amusement. My mother is brave. Her voice becomes soft and wistful.
Brave?
Yes. Her expression turns somber and she glances out the window once more. Okay, this subject is definitely off limits. And your father? She shakes her head and shrugs. He is an Albanian man. And that means?
Well, my father is old-fashioned, and I do not, how do you say, we do not see eye for eye.
Her face falls a little, and her troubled expression tells me this, too, is off-limits. Eye to eye, I correct her. Tell me about Albania, then. Her face brightens.
What do you want to know?
She looks up at me through those long, dark lashes, and my groin tightens again. Everything, I whisper. I watch and listen to her, enthralled. She is passionate and eloquent, painting a vivid picture of her country and her home. She tells me Albania is a special place where family is at the center of everything. It's an ancient country, influenced over the centuries by several cultures with differing ideologies. She explains that it's both Western and Eastern facing, but more and more her country looks to Europe for inspiration. She's proud of her hometown. Kukës is a small place in the north near the border with Kosovo, and she enthuses about its spectacular lakes, rivers and gorges, but most of all the mountains that surround it. She comes alive talking about the landscape, and it's clear this is what she misses about her homeland.
And that is why I like it here, she says. From what I have seen, the landscape in Cornwall is also beautiful.
We are interrupted by Megan and fish pie. Megan plunks the plates down on the table and leaves without a word. Her face is sour, but the fish pie is warming and delicious, and there's no sign that anyone spat in it.
What does your father do?
I ask cautiously.
He has a garage.
Does he sell petrol?
No, he fixes cars, tires, mechanical things.
And your mother?
She is at home.
I want to ask Alessia why she left Albania, but I know it will remind her of her harrowing journey to the UK.
And what did you do in Kukës?
Well, I was studying, but my university closed, and so sometimes I work in a school with the little children, and sometimes I play the piano.
Her voice tails off, and I don't know if it's because she's feeling nostalgic or if it's for another reason.
Tell me about your work.
It's clear she wants to change the subject. And because I don't want to tell her what I do yet, I fill her in on my DJing career. And I've done a couple of summers in San Antonio in Ibiza. Now that's a real party place.
This is why you have so many records?
Yes, I answer.
And what is your favorite music?
All music. I don't have a favorite genre.
What about you?
How old were you when you started playing?
I was 4.
Wow, early. Did you study music? I mean, music theory?
No.
That's even more impressive. It's gratifying to see Alessia eat. Her cheeks are rosy, her eyes aglow, and I suspect that after 2 beers, she's a little tipsy.
Would you like anything else? I ask.
She shakes her head. Let's go. It's Jago who brings over our bill. I suspect Megan has refused or she's on a break. I settle up and take Alessia's hand as we leave the pub. I just want to make a quick detour to the shop, I say.
Okay.
Alessia's lopsided smile makes me grin. The shops in Trevethick are owned by the estate and leased to the locals. They do good business from Easter right through to the new year. The only one that's actually useful is the general store. We're miles from the nearest big town, and it carries a huge range of items. A dulcet bell rings as we enter. If there's anything you need, let me know, I tell Alessia, who is looking at the magazine display, swaying slightly. I head to the counter.
Can I help you?
Asks the sales assistant, a tall young woman I don't recognize.
Do you stock nightlights for kids? She leaves the counter and searches the shelves in a nearby aisle. These are the only nightlights we have. She holds up a box with a small plastic dragon inside. I'll take one. It'll need batteries, the assistant informs me. I'll take batteries too. She takes the package and returns to the counter, where I spy condoms. Well, I might get lucky. I glance around at Alessia, who is leafing through one of the magazines. I'll have a packet of condoms too. The young woman blushes, and I'm glad I don't know her.
Which would you prefer?
She asks. Those. I point to my brand of choice. Hastily, she puts the packet into a plastic bag with the nightlight. Once I've paid, I join Alessia at the front of the shop, where she's now checking out the small display of lipsticks. Is there anything you want? I ask.
No, thank you.
Her refusal doesn't surprise me. I've never seen her wear makeup. Shall we go? She takes my hand and we walk back to the lane.
What is that place?
Alessia points at a distant chimney, only partly visible as we walk up the lane toward the old mine. I know it, of course. It stands atop of the west wing of the great house that is Tressilian Hall, my ancestral home. Bugger. That place, it belongs to the Earl of Trevethick.
Oh.
Her brow creases for a moment, and we continue on in silence while I wage an inner war with myself.
Tell her you're the fucking Earl of Trevethick.
No.
Why not? I will. Not yet. Why not? I want her to know me first. Know you. Spend time with me.
Can we go down to the beach again?
Alessia's eyes are alight with excitement once more.
Of course.
Alessia is entranced by the sea. She runs with the same uninhibited joy into the shallow surf. The Wellingtons keep her feet dry from the crashing waves. She is effervescent. Mr. Maxim has given her the sea. Overcome with giddy delight, she closes her eyes, stretches out her arms, and breathes in the chilly, salted air. She can't remember ever feeling this full. For the first time in a long time, she's enjoying a small slice of happiness. She has a keen sense of connection to the cold, wild landscape that somehow reminds her of her homeland. She feels like she belongs. She is complete. Turning around, she regards Maxim as he stands on the shoreline with his hands deep in his coat pockets, watching her. The wind ripples his hair, the traces of gold glinting in the sun. His eyes are full of mirth and shine a burning emerald green. He is breathtaking, and her heart is full, full to the brim. She loves him. Yes, she loves him. She is giddy, excited, and in love. This is what it should feel like, joyful, filling, free. The realization surges through her like the bracing Cornish wind that whips her hair across her face. She is in love with Mr. Maxim. All her unarticulated feelings bubble to the surface and her face erupts into a megawatt smile. His answering smile is dazzling, and for a moment she dares to hope. Perhaps one day he will feel the same way too? She dances over to him and in an unguarded moment launches herself at him, flinging her arms around his neck. Thank you for bringing me here, she exclaims, breathless. He grins down at her as he holds her close. It's my pleasure, he says. It will be, she quips and laughs as his eyes widen and his mouth drops open. She wants him, all of him. She whirls out of his arms and back into the shallows.
Good God, she's tipsy. Maybe even a little drunk. And beautiful. I'm infatuated. Suddenly, she slips and falls as a wave crashes over her. Shit. Panicked, I race to help. She tries to scramble to her feet and slips again, but when I reach her, she's laughing and soaked. I help her up. I think that's enough swimming for one day, I mutter. It's freezing. Let's get you home. And I take her hand. Alessia gives me a crooked grin and trails after me across the sand toward the path back to the house. Pausing every few steps, she seems reluctant to leave the beach, but she's still giggling and appears happy enough. I don't want her catching a chill. Back in the warmth of the hideout, I pull her into my arms. Your giggling is irresistible. I kiss her quickly and slip off her soaking coat. Her jeans are sodden, but thankfully the rest of her clothes underneath seem dry. I rub her arms briskly to warm her. You should go and change. Okay. Alessia grins and heads toward the stairs. Taking her coat, well, Marianne's coat, I hang it up in the hallway over the radiator where it will dry. I remove my boots and socks, which are also wet, then head into the guest cloakroom. When I come out, she's disappeared, and I assume she's gone upstairs to find a dry pair of jeans. I sit down on one of the kitchen bar stools and call Danny to arrange supper. Next, I call Tom Alexander.
Trevethick, how the devil are you?
Good, thanks. Anything to report from Brentford?
No, it's all quiet on the Western Front.
How's Cornwall?
Cold. You know, old boy, I've been thinking. This is an awful lot of trouble to go to for your daily. She's a pretty girl and all that, but I hope she's worth it.
She is.
I've never known you to be a sucker for a damsel in distress.
She's not a damn...
I hope you've sealed the deal.
Tom, that's none of your fucking business.
Okay, okay. I'll take that as a no.
He laughs.
Tom,
I warn.
Yes, yes, Trevethick. Keep your bloody hair on. It's all good here. That's all you need to know.
Thank you. Keep me updated.
Will do. Farewell.
He hangs up. I stare down at the phone.
Fucker.
I email Oliver. 2. Oliver McMillan. Date, the 2nd of February, 2019. From Maxim Trevelyan, RE, whereabouts. Oliver. I'm in Cornwall attending to a private matter and staying at the hideout. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be here. Tom Alexander will be invoicing me for his services via his security company, payment for which should come out of my personal allowances. If you need to reach me, email is better, as phone reception down here, as you know, is spotty. Thanks, MT. Then I text Caroline. In Cornwall. We'll be here a while. Hope all well with you. M. Kiss. She texts back immediately. Do you want me to come down? No, things to do. Thanks for the offer. Are you avoiding me? Don't be silly. Sad face. I don't believe you. I'll call you at the hall.
I'm not at the hall.
Where are you then? And what the fuck are you doing down there?
Caro, leave it. I'll call next week.
What are you up to? I'm intrigued. And I miss you. I have to see the stepsow again this evening.
C.
Kiss, 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 kiss. Good luck. M. Kiss. How the fuck am I going to explain to Caroline what's happening down here? I run my hands through my hair, hoping to find inspiration. Nothing comes to me, so I go looking for Alessia. She isn't in either of the upstairs bedrooms.
Alessia?
I call as I come back into the main living area, but she doesn't reply. I dash down to the lower floor and quickly check the 3 ground-level guest bedrooms, the games and cinema room. No Alessia. Fuck. I try to quell my rising panic and run back upstairs and through to the spa to see if she's in the jacuzzi or the sauna. No sign. Where the fuck is she? I check the scullery. And there she is. Sitting bare-legged on the floor, reading a book while the tumble dryer rumbles away.
Here you are.
I conceal my exasperation, feeling ridiculous for my concern. She stares up at me with warm brown eyes as I sink down onto the floor beside her.
What are you doing?
I'm breathless as I lean against the wall. She draws her knees up and stretches her white top over them, concealing her legs. She rests her chin on her knees, her face an endearing shade of embarrassed pink. I'm reading, and I am waiting for my jeans to dry.
I can see that. Why didn't you change?
Change? Into another pair.
She blushes a deeper shade of pink.
I do not have another pair.
Her tone is hushed and tinged with shame.
Bloody hell.
And I recall the two pathetic plastic bags that I packed into the boot of my car. They held everything she owns. Closing my eyes, I lean my head back against the wall, feeling utterly stupid.
She has nothing. Not even clothes or socks. Shit.
Checking my watch, I realize it's too late to go shopping. And I've had two pints, so I can't. I don't drink and drive. It's late now. Tomorrow, I'll take you to Padstow and we can get you some new clothes.
I cannot afford new clothes. My jeans will be dry soon.
Without acknowledging her comment, I glanced down at her book.
What are you reading?
I found this on the bookshelves.
She holds up Jamaica Inn by Daphne du Maurier. Do you like it? It's set in Cornwall.
I've just started it.
From what I remember, I enjoyed it. Look, I'm sure I have something you can wear. I rise and hold out my hand. Clutching the book, she's a little wobbly as she stands, and the hem of her top is wet.
Shit, she'll catch a cold.
I try not to look at her long, naked legs. I try not to imagine them wrapped around my waist. I fail. And she's wearing the pink panties.
Torture.
My need is a slow, dull ache. I'll have to shower. Again.
Come on.
My voice is thick with desire, but fortunately she doesn't seem to notice. We head upstairs and she ducks into the guest room while I explore the walk-in wardrobe to see what other clothes Danny has brought to the house. Alessia appears by the door a few moments later, wearing SpongeBob pajama bottoms and an Arsenal FC shirt.
I have these,
she says with an apologetic and still half-tipsy smile. I stop rummaging. Even in ridiculous, faded pajamas and a football shirt, she is stunning.
They'll do.
I smirk as I imagine slipping those trousers off her hips and down her legs.
These were Mikhail's,
she says.
I guessed.
They were too small for him.
They look a little big for you. We'll get you some clothes tomorrow. She opens her mouth to protest, but I raise my finger to her lips.
Hush.
Her lips are soft to my touch.
I want this woman.
She pouts and forms a kiss against my skin, and her eyes stray to my mouth and darken. My breath catches in my throat.
Please, don't look at me like that, I whisper, taking my finger off her lips.
Like what?
Her voice is barely audible. You know, like you want me.
She flushes and stares down at her feet.
I am sorry, she whispers.
Shit, I've upset her.
Alessia. I close the space between us so I'm almost touching her. The enchanting scent of lavender and roses mixed with the salty air of the sea invades and intoxicates my senses. I stroke her cheek, and she leans her lovely face into my palm.
I do want you,
she murmurs, raising alluring eyes to mine.
But I don't know what to do.
I brush her bottom lip with my thumb.
I think you've had too much to drink, beautiful.
She blinks, and her eyes cloud with a look I don't understand. And with a lift of her chin, she turns and walks out of the room.
What the hell?
Alessia? I call and follow her, but she ignores me and descends the stairs. I sigh and sit down on the top step and rub my face.
I'm confused. I am trying, really fucking trying, to be noble here.
I snort at the irony. I know the look she was giving me. Hell, I've seen it often enough. A fuck me now look.
Isn't that why I brought her here?
But she's tipsy.
And she has no one. And she has nothing. Nothing at all. She has me. Hook, line, and sinker. If I fuck her, I'll be taking advantage. Simple. So I can't. But I've offended her. Shit. The mournful strains of the piano suddenly fill the house. It's a melancholic Bach prelude in E-flat minor. I know it well because I studied it for my grade 4 or 5 music examination as a teen. She plays exquisitely, teasing out all the emotion and revealing the depths of the piece. Her skill is phenomenal, and she's articulating everything she feels through the music. She's pissed off at me. Bloody hell. Maybe I should take her up on her offer. Fuck her and take her back to London. But even as the thought enters my head, I know I can't do that. I have to find somewhere for her to live. I rub my face again. She could live with me.
What?
No. I've never lived with anyone. Would it be so bad? The truth is, I don't want any harm coming to Alessia De Marchi. I want to protect her. I sigh. What's happening to me?
Alessia pours her confusion into the Bach prelude she's playing. She wants to forget everything. His look, his doubt, his rejection. The music slowly moves through her and out into the room, filling it with the somber colors of regret. And as she plays, she surrenders herself to the melody and forgets everything. When the final notes die, she opens her eyes, and Mr. Maxim is standing by the kitchen counter, watching her. "Hey," he says. "Hey," she responds. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. That's twice today." "You are very contrary," Alessia says, trying to voice her confusion. As an afterthought, she adds, "Is it my clothes?" "What? That you do not like? After all, he's insisted he wants to buy her new clothes." She stands, and in an uncharacteristic, brave moment, she gives him a quick twirl. She hopes she will make him smile. Walking toward her, he eyes her football shirt and her cartoon PJs, and rubs his chin as if considering her hypothesis. "I love that you're dressed like a 13-year-old boy." His tone is dry, but amused, too. Alessia giggles, loudly, infectiously, and he laughs with her. "That's better," he whispers. He grasps her chin and kisses her. "You are a very desirable woman, Alessia, whatever you're wearing. Don't let me or anyone else make you feel otherwise. You're also very, very talented. Play something else, for me, please." "Okay," she says, mollified by his kind words, and she sits down at the piano once more. She gives him a quick, knowing smile and starts to play.
It's my song. The song I finished after I met her. She knows it, by heart, and she plays it a damn sight better than I do. I started this song when Kit was alive, and now I hear my own sorrow and regret in the harmonies that fill the room. Grief hits me like a tidal wave, crashing over me, drowning me. A knot forms in my throat, and I try to contain my emotion. But it expands, constricting my ability to breathe. I watch her, spellbound but aching as the music punctures my heart and touches the yawning void that is Kit's absence. Her eyes are closed. She's concentrating and losing herself in the sad, solemn melody. I've tried to ignore my grief, but it's there. It's been there since the day he died. I told Alessia that I loved him. I did. I really did love him. My big brother. but I never told him. Not once. And now I miss him more than he'll ever know. Kid. Why? Tears burn behind my eyes as I lean against the wall, trying to fight my anguish and loss. I cover my face with my hands. I hear her gasp and she stops. I'm sorry, she whispers. I shake my head, unable to speak or look at her. Hearing the scrape of the stool, I know that she's stepped away from the piano. Then I feel her near me and she touches my arm. It's a compassionate gesture. And it's my undoing. That reminded me of my brother. I squeeze the words past the lump in my throat. We buried him here 3 weeks ago.
Oh no.
She sounds crestfallen, and she wraps her arms around me, surprising me, and whispers, I am so sorry. I bury my face in her hair and inhale her soothing scent, and I cannot stop the tears sliding down my face. Shit. She's unmanned me. I didn't cry at the hospital. I didn't cry at the funeral. I haven't cried since my father died when I was 16 years old. Yet here, now, with her I let go. And I sob in her arms.
Chapter 14. Alessia's heart rate accelerates as she panics. Confused, she holds him, her mind in a whirl. What has she done? Mr. Maxim. She thought he'd find it amusing that she knew his piece, but no, she's reminded him of his grief. Her remorse is swift and merciless and flutters staccato in her belly. How could she have been so insensitive? He tightens his hold on her as he weeps, making no sound. 3 weeks is no time. No wonder he's still grieving. She draws him closer and strokes his back. She remembers how she felt when her grandmother passed away. Nana had been the only one who understood her, the only person she could really talk to. She's been gone a year. She swallows the burning sensation in her throat. Maxim is vulnerable and sad, and she wants nothing but to make him smile again. He has done so much for her. She runs her hands up his shoulders and to the nape of his neck, and, clasping his head, turns his face to hers. His gaze holds no expectations. All she sees in his luminous green eyes is his sorrow. Slowly, she pulls his mouth to hers and kisses him.
I groan when her lips brush mine. Her kiss is timid, but so unexpected and oh, so sweet. I screw my eyes shut as I fight the outpouring of my grief. Alessia. Her name is a blessing. My hands cradle her head, my fingers threading through her soft, silky hair as I accept her hesitant, unschooled kiss. She kisses me once, twice, three times. I've got you, she whispers. And her words draw all the air from my lungs. I want to crush her to me and never let her go. I can't remember the last person who consoled me in my hour of need. Alessia kisses my neck, my jaw, and my lips once more, and I let her. Gradually, my grief recedes, leaving only hunger in its wake. My hunger for her. I've been fighting my attraction to her since I saw her standing in my hallway holding that broom. But she's broken through all my defenses. She's exposed my grief, my need, my lust, and I'm powerless to resist. She moves to hold and stroke my face, which is still damp with tears, and her caress spirals like a tornado through my body. I'm lost. Lost to her compassion, her courage, and her innocence. I'm lost to her touch. My body responds.
Fuck. I want her. I want her now. I've wanted her forever. I tilt her head back and move one hand to hold the nape of her neck, my fingers still in her hair. With the other hand, I circle her waist and pull her against the length of my body. I deepen the kiss, my lips more insistent. Alessia lets out a little gasp, and I seize the moment and tease her tongue with the tip of mine. She tastes as sweet as she looks, and she moans. I light up like Piccadilly Circus. She pushes at my chest, suddenly breaking our kiss, and stares up at me with a dazed, astonished look. Shit, what's this? She's breathless, flushed, and her pupils are dilated. Man, she's exquisite. I don't want to let her go. You okay? A shy smile pulls at the corners of her mouth, and she nods. Does she mean yes or no? Yes? I want clarification. Yes, she whispers. Have you ever been kissed? Only by you. I don't know what to say to this. Again, she beseeches me, and I need no further prompting. My grief is a distant memory. I'm firmly in the now with this beautiful, innocent young woman. My fingers tighten in her hair, and I ease her head back so that her mouth is once more raised to mine. I kiss her again, tempting her lips apart with my tongue, and this time I'm met with the tip of hers. I growl deep in my throat, my arousal complete, straining against black denim. Her hands slide up my biceps, and she clings to me as our tongues stroke and tease and taste each other over and over. I could kiss her all day, every day. I slide my hand down her back to her perfect behind. Oh, God. Placing my palm on her backside, I push her against my erection. She gasps and frees her lips from our kiss, but doesn't let me go. She's breathing hard, eyes the color of night, wide and shocked. Fuck. I hold her startled gaze, and summoning every ounce of my self-control, I ask, "Do you want to stop?" "No," she says quickly. "Thank fuck." "What's wrong?" I ask. She shakes her head. "This," I ask and press my hips against her. She gasps, "Yes, beautiful. I want you." Her lips part as she inhales. "I want to touch you. Everywhere," I whisper. "With my hands, with my fingers, with my lips and with my tongue." Her eyes darken. "And I want you to touch me," I add in a husky tone. Her mouth forms a perfect, soundless O, but her gaze shifts from my eyes to my mouth, to my chest, and back to my eyes. "Too fast?" I ask. She shakes her head and fists her fingers in my hair and tugs, drawing my lips back to hers. "Ah," I murmur against the corner of her mouth as pleasure rushes down my spine to my groin. "That's right, Alessia. Touch me. I want you to touch me. I crave her touch." She kisses me and hesitantly pushes her tongue between my lips, and I take all that she's got to give. Oh, Alessia. We kiss and kiss until I think I'm going to burst. I skirt the waistband of her pajamas and slip my hand inside against the warm, soft skin of her behind. She stills for a second, then grips my hair firmly, tugging hard, and kisses me with ardor, greedy and feverish. "Easy," I breathe. "Let's take this slow." She swallows and places her hands on my arms, looking a little abashed. "I like your hands in my hair," I reassure her. And to make amends, I run my teeth along her jawline up to her ear. Her moan is soft and husky as her head falls into the palm of my hand. It's music to my dick. "You're so beautiful," I whisper, and my fingers clench in her hair, tugging gently. Her chin lifts,
and I anoint the underside of her throat with feather-like kisses until I reach her ear. With my other hand, I squeeze her behind as my lips seek hers once more, my tongue teasing and exploring her mouth, giving and taking as her lips learn mine and I learn hers. I trail kisses down her neck to where her pulse beats fast and furious beneath her skin. "I want to make love to you," I whisper. Alessia stills. I cradle her face with both hands and brush her lips with my thumb. "Talk to me. Do you want to stop?" She bites her top lip, and her eyes dart toward the window, where the sky is color-washed with a splash of pink from the coming dusk. "No one can see us," I assure her. Her smile is hesitant, but she whispers, "Do not stop." I stroke her cheek with the backs of my fingers and lose myself in her dark, dark gaze. "Are you sure you want to do this?" She nods. "Tell me, Alessia. I need to hear you say it." I kiss the corner of her mouth once more and she closes her eyes. "Yes," she breathes. "Oh, baby," I murmur. "Wrap your legs around me." I clasp her waist and lift her easily. She puts her hands on my shoulders, legs, round me. Face shining with what I hope is lust and excitement. She hooks her legs around my waist, and her arms circle my neck. "Hold on." I take the stairs while she kisses my throat. "You smell good," she says, as if to herself. "Oh, sweetheart, so do you." I set her down beside the bed and kiss her again. "I want to see you." My hands find the hem of her football shirt. Gently, I pull it up and over her head. Even though she's wearing a bra, she crosses her arms in front of her breasts as her hair falls in a dusky, curling cascade to her waist. She's shy. She's innocent. She's stunning. I'm aroused and touched at once, but I want her to feel comfortable. "Do you want to do this in the dark?"
"No," she says immediately. "Not the dark."
Of course, she hates the dark. "Okay, okay, I get it," I reassure her.
"You're gorgeous."
My voice is filled with breathless wonder as I discard her shirt on the floor. I smooth her hair off her face, my hands finding her chin. I gently kiss her again and again until she relaxes, splaying her hands on my chest and kissing me back. Her fingers bunch in my sweater and she tugs. I peer down at her.
"You want me to take this off?"
She nods with enthusiasm.
"For you, beautiful, anything."
I drag my sweater and t-shirt off and drop them beside her Arsenal FC top. She glances from my eyes to my naked chest, and I stay still, letting her look.
"Touch me," I whisper.
She gasps.
"I want you to. I don't bite. Not unless you ask me to."
Her eyes light up, and carefully she places her hand over my heart.
Fuck.
I'm sure it somersaults beneath her fingers. I close my eyes, enjoying the searing sensation. She leans forward and kisses my skin where my heart is thundering.
Yes.
I sweep her hair off her neck and skim my lips down her throat and across her shoulder to her bra strap. I smile against her fragrant skin. Her bra is pink. With my thumb and finger, I ease her strap off her shoulder as her ragged breathing fills my ears.
"Turn around," I murmur.
Alessia raises heated eyes to mine and turns so her back is against my front. She crosses her arms, covering herself once more. I scoop her hair from her other shoulder and kiss her neck while slipping my other arm around her and across her belly and grasping her hip. I pull her against me so my erection is cradled at the top of her behind. I groan in her ear and she squirms against me.
Fuck me.
With great care, I ease down her remaining strap, skimming my fingers across her shoulder and pressing tender, wet kisses in their wake on her skin. Her skin is soft and fair and almost flawless. She has a little mole at the base of her neck beneath the chain that holds her gold cross. I kiss it. Her scent is clean and wholesome. You smell wonderful, I murmur between kisses as I undo her bra. Moving my arm up her body, I feel the weight of her breasts on my forearm. She sucks in a breath and holds her bra against her body with crossed arms. Easy, I murmur, and while I hold her close, I skim my fingers down her stomach and between her hips. Then dip my thumb into the waistband of her pajamas and glide it along her belly as I tease her earlobe with my teeth.
Zot,
she moans. I want you. I whisper and nip her again, and I do bite.
Ed unter der Scheroi.
English. I kiss that spot behind her ear and slip my hand inside her pajamas and slide my fingers over her sex. She's shaved. She stiffens against me. But I graze my thumb over her clitoris. Once, twice, three times, four, and she throws her head back against my shoulder and whimpers. Yes, I whisper and continue stroking her, teasing her, arousing her with my fingers. She drops her arms, her bra sliding to the floor, and she grabs my legs, pulling at my jeans and clenching her hands around the material. Her mouth drops open, her eyes are screwed shut, and she's panting. Yes, baby, feel it. I tease her ear with my teeth, and she bites her upper lip as my fingers continue to tantalize her.
Telutum, telutum, telutum.
English.
Please, please,
she rasps, and I continue to give her what she wants, what she needs. Her legs start to tremble, and I tighten my arm around her. She's close. Does she know? I've got you, I whisper. And her grasp on me tightens so she's almost cutting off the circulation to my legs. She whimpers and suddenly cries out as her body slowly convulses and she comes apart in my arms. I hold her through her orgasm and she sags against me. Oh, Alessia, I whisper at her ear, and lifting her into my arms, I draw back the quilt and lay her down on the bed. Her hair fans out like a wild mane over the pillows and down over her breasts, concealing all but her dark pink nipples from me. Fuck. Bathed in the soft, rosy light from the gathering dusk, she's exquisite, even in SpongeBob pajama trousers. Do you have any idea how beautiful you look right now? I ask, and she turns astonished eyes to mine.
Whoa.
She whispers.
No, English. Wow.
Wow. Yes. My jeans feel several sizes too small, and I want to rip off her pajamas and bury myself in her. But she needs time. I know this. I wish my cock understood. Not taking my eyes off hers, I undo the top button and unzip the fly of my jeans to give my erection some much-needed room. Maybe I should remove them. Leaving on my underwear, I slip my jeans off and drop them on the floor. I take a deep breath and try to bring my breathing under control. May I join you? I ask. Eyes wide, she nods, and I need no further encouragement. I lie down beside her, propped up on my elbow. I take a strand of her hair, marveling at its softness, and wind and unwind it around my fingers. You like? I ask. She smiles, a shy but carnal smile.
Yes, I like.
And her tongue quickly skims her top lip. I stifle my groan, and reaching up, I run the back of my index finger down her cheek, along her chin, and down her neck. My fingers stop at her little gold cross. The sight of it makes me pause. Are you sure you want to do this? I ask. Her fathomless eyes stare into mine, and I feel exposed, like she's scrutinizing my soul. It's sobering. I feel far more naked than I am. She swallows.
Yes.
If there's anything you don't like, or you don't want to do, tell me, yes? She nods and reaches up to caress my face.
Maxim,
she whispers, and I lean down and brush her lips with mine. She groans and she threads her hands through my hair, and her tongue tentatively touches and moistens my top lip. Desire scorches through me like wildfire. I hold her chin and deepen our first horizontal kiss. I want her, all of her, now, here. I revel in her response and her kiss, exploring, tasting, wanting. Abandoning her mouth, I trail my lips down her chin, down her throat, and along her sternum. With my hand, I sweep her hair aside, revealing my goal. She gasps, her fingers pressed to my scalp, as I gently lave her nipple and pull it into my mouth, and suck, hard. Ah, she cries. I blow gently on it, and she writhes beside me. I skim my hand over her hip and up to her other breast, cupping it gently. I fondle and squeeze and marvel at how responsive she is when I brush the peak with my thumb. In a split second, her nipple is tall and rigid, matching its twin. She moans, and her hips start to move to a rhythm I know so well. I skate my hand down her body, caressing her as I go and continuing to tease her breasts with my lips. My fingers slip under her waistband, and she pushes her sex into my hand. I have her, in the palm of my hand. I groan. She's wet. She's ready. Fuck. Slowly, slowly, I ease my finger inside her. She's tight and wet. Yes. I withdraw my finger and ease it into her once more. Ah! She mewls, and she tenses and fists the sheets. Oh, baby, I want you so much. My lips are between her breasts. I've burned for you since I first saw you. Her body rises to meet my hand, and she tips her head back against the pillow. I kiss her stomach and leave a wet trail of possession down her skin to her navel. I circle it with my nose while my fingers move in and out of her. I kiss her belly and run my tongue from hip to hip. Zot! Time to say goodbye to these, I murmur against her belly. Removing my hand from inside her, I sit up. I never thought, she says, but her voice fades as I ease her pajamas down her legs, then toss them on top of my jeans. Wow, I whisper. She's finally naked in my bed, and she's sexy as hell.
You've seen me naked before.
Yes, she whispers, but you were lying down on your front.
Okay. Well, this might be an education.
I yank my underwear off, finally freeing my straining cock, and before the sight of my erection can shock or alarm her, I lean over and kiss her. Really kiss her, pouring all my want and need into her first fully naked kiss. She responds, her lips greedy, kissing me back. I caress her waist, and my hand slides down to her hip, pulling her soft, sweet body against me. With my knee, I ease her legs apart. Her body rises to meet mine as her hands grasp my head once more. Tasting her skin, I skim my lips down her throat to her gold cross. I twirl it with my tongue, enjoying the taste, while my hand moves once more to capture her perfect, shapely breast. She moans when my thumb brushes over her nipple, and it rises to a sweet bud beneath my touch. My lips follow, kissing and tugging gently. Oh, Zot! She whines, tightening her fingers in my hair. I don't stop. Restless and eager, my mouth moves from one nipple to the other, tugging, licking, kissing, sucking. She squirms and whimpers beneath me, and my hand travels south to my ultimate goal. Alessia stills as my fingers brush over her sex, her breathing broken and rapid. Yes, she's wet. Still. My thumb finds the ultimate prize, and I circle her clitoris again and again, and gradually I ease one finger inside her once more. Her hands stray from my head, stroking my back, and then she runs her fingernails over my shoulders and digs in. But I persist, moving my finger in and out, building the rhythm while my thumb grazes and circles her clitoris over and over. Her hips are flexing in that age-old beat, and her legs stiffen beneath me. She's close. Abandoning her breasts, I kiss her mouth and tug her lower lip with my teeth. She clenches her fists against my shoulders as her head rolls back. Alessia, I whisper as she cries out, her orgasm ripping through her. I hold her close as her body quivers with aftershocks, and then I kneel between her legs. She opens dark eyes that gaze up at me in clouded wonder. Reaching for a condom, trying to keep my body in check, I whisper, "Are you ready? It'll be quick." Might as well be truthful. She nods. I reach for her chin. "Tell me."
"Yes,"
she breathes.
"Thank fuck."
I rip the packet with my teeth and roll on the condom. And for a horrible moment, I think I'm going to come here and now. Fuck. I bring my cock under control and cover her body with mine, keeping my weight on my elbows. She closes her eyes and tenses beneath me.
"Hey,"
I whisper, and kiss her eyelids in turn. Her arms circle my neck and she whimpers.
"Alessia."
Her lips find mine and she kisses me hungrily, feverishly, desperately, and I can hold off no more. Slowly, 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 I sink into her. Oh, good God. Tight, wet heaven. She cries out and I still.
"Okay?"
I rasp as I let her adjust to my intrusion.
"Yes,"
she breathes after a beat. I'm not sure whether or not to believe her, but I take her at her word and begin to move into her. Once, twice, thrice, again and again, I rock against her. "Don't come. Don't come. Don't come. I want to prolong this forever." She groans, and her hips begin to move in a fitful, fledgling counterpoint.
"Yes, move with me, beautiful."
I encourage her as her short, breathy gasps of pleasure spur me on.
"Please,"
she whispers, begging for more, and I willingly oblige. Sweat beads on my back as my body fights my restraint. I push and push until finally she stiffens beneath me and her fingernails dig into my flesh. I move once, twice, a third time, and she screams as she lets go. Her cry and her climax my undoing. I come forcefully, loudly, and calling out her name.
Chapter 15. Maxim is heavy on top of her, his breathing forced and urgent, while Alessia lies panting beneath him. She's overwhelmed with sensation and a bone-deep fatigue, but most of all by his invasion. She feels consumed. He shakes his head, leans up on his elbows, taking his weight off her, and clear, concerned eyes burn into hers.
"Are you okay?" he says.
She makes a mental inventory of her body. In truth, she's a little sore. She had no idea that the act of love was so physical. Her mother had told her it would hurt the first time, and she was right. But then, once her body got used to his presence, she'd enjoyed it. More than enjoyed it. At the end, she'd lost all sense of self and shattered into tiny little pieces, exploding inside. And it had been incredible. He eases out of her, the alien feeling making her wince. He covers them both with the duvet and, leaning on his elbow, stares down at her with concern.
"You haven't answered me. Are you okay?"
She nods, but the narrowing of his eyes tells her that he's not convinced.
"Did I hurt you?"
She bites her lip, still unsure what to say, and he flops down on the bed beside her and closes his eyes.
Shit. I hurt her. I'd been transported from the depths of despair to an earth-shattering climax, but my rosy post-coital best fuck ever glow vanishes like a magician's rabbit. I reach down and yank the condom off my dick, disgusted with myself. When I drop it on the floor, I'm shocked to see my hand smeared with blood. Her blood. Fuck. I rub my hand on my thigh and turn back to face the recrimination in her lovely face. But she stares at me, looking apprehensive and vulnerable. Bloody hell. "I'm sorry I hurt you." I kiss her forehead.
My mother said to me it would hurt, but only the first time.
She pulls the quilt up to her chin. Only the first time. She nods, and hope blossoms in my chest. I caress